Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. We just want to say thank you for joining the AWM Atlantis Live Radio broadcast. We say happy December 1st to you. We're thankful to God for you taking your time out with us and for us to see this new month. So thank you again for taking your lunch break and your time with us. And so as we go into this new month, this topic is actually called, I'm sure you've all have heard this song, but I have a church sister who would have a song in every season or point in her life. And I remember there was a song that she would get up to talk about, and it's, I've got the victory, hallelujah. I will spare you all the voice of the singing about it, but it's, I've got the victory, hallelujah. And that's actually a song. And that's what this topic is actually going to be about. And as 2023 comes to a close, we just want to remind us, all of you, to just look how far you've come. Whether this time of the year for you is filled with to-do lists, menus, traveling, gatherings, or pain or disappointment. No matter where you are loved and you have not been forgotten. As we step off into 2024, there's something that President Biden has said that actually comes to mind. And what he said is, this ain't your grandfather's party. While I'm not going politically, but his comment has a point. And the point is, for me, is that we are not faced with what we're used to. So we must face it with dealing with it in a new approach if we want to gain the victory. So with that in mind, let's take a look at David's approach in 2 Samuel verse 1 through 16, which is how he handled this new change. And I'm not going to go through every single verse. There's a few verses, but when you get time, just go over this experience in David's life, and I pray that it will speak to you, because all of us have experienced change or being able to see how we used to approach things and now seeing how we have got to shift from that. And oftentimes it doesn't always come the way we think or even how we expect it to be. But in looking at what this topic is just seeing how the way it used to be, we're familiar. We know about those days and how Biden would talk about, you know, that grandfather's party. You know, we know that what he was actually referring to is that, look, those days where people's word was your bond. What you spoke, it was done in honor and integrity. The times when businesses would take your word or people would honor and respect the businesses. But as we look at it now, times have changed. And it's not about everybody else, but it's about the individual. It is about us and the experiences that 2023 has awarded us, whether it was experiences that felt good, whether it was experiences that did not feel good. They all have an experience that was a purpose. And in that, what can we gain wisdom from that we can take with us into 2024? That's like if you are preparing a cake, for an example, and if you have to shift that flour, and if you're not familiar with what that means, it's like you take a colander or a shifter, and it's and you need to put the flour in it just to, you know, just to soften it, not soften it up, but just to get the lumps out of it, just to make sure that it is nice and it's smooth and no lumps or clumps in that. And so just like how we've got to step into, we're moving into this new year, we're approaching into this new year, We just got to shift some things that we don't need to take into 2024, some things we need to take into 2024 by gaining wisdom out of it. So as we go into 2 Samuel verse 1 through 4, and in this particular point in David's life was coming to the end of Saul's reign, which is the first king of Israel. And this was during a time where Saul and his son Jonathan was killed in battle. And there was an individual, there was a man who had came to David because David had been in hiding or fleeing from Saul since Saul wanted to kill David. So this particular man had ran to David and was saying that he had, you know, he had some news. He had some dreadful news to tell him about the battle that took place with the Israelites. And so because of that, he told David the death of King Saul and his son Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was a man in whom David had such a connection and a bond and a love and a respect for. So when we take all of that into consideration, just as like when we are speaking to a business person, family, or close friend, we would appreciate the words spoken are words of integrity, words of truth, based on right motive. But some have a skill, a perfected quality of gaining your trust with only themselves in mind, whether it's in their body language, tone of their voice, how they address you or maneuver in the conversation, or even their confidence. These are real. These are real qualities, real people. And since we are no longer living during the time of our grandfather's party, we must gain a new strategic approach. The reason for this is vital. We've seen 2023, the crooks, corruption, thieves, ups and downs, good times, but we have not seen 2024. And in approaching something new with old ways, could lead to devastation or disappointment. So now as we key in to verse 5 that says, now this is David's response to the man who told him that he had escaped from the battle, he had witnessed all of this, and he told David that Saul and Jonathan had died. David's response is in verse 5. He says, then David said to the young man who brought him the report, how do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead? And this is, look at it for us. This is God showing us in his word how David approached this new thing. Key here, although the man pointed out details of the battle, the horrific end of Saul and Jonathan, David yet inquired. This points to us today. Remember, people, companies, whomever tell you what they want you to know. And if what people say is sufficient for you, by all means, follow them. But that doesn't mean by asking questions, inquiring beyond the information that is given, is whether they're lying or not. No, remember that people, we don't know the depth of who a person is. We don't know their motives. And so because of that, we are not wrong or we are not pointing them or labeling them as to be a person who is not honest. But when we're approaching someone, a business, a venture, a situation, that's a blank slate to us. We have no information about that. So it's up to us to be able to approach that with the mindset of filling our blank slate of that situation with factual information. Because just like that young man who came and approached David, he wanted to fill David's slate with all these facts, all these things that can try and gain him a reward because his motives were not right. He gave him all these facts, all these, according to him, what he wanted David to know. He gave him all this information. But because David inquired beyond that information by asking questions. Because again, this man told him, it's kind of like a script. You know how like you call companies and they ramble off to you before you can even get a word in? They've read an entire script and they've said it not just so that way they can get their piece out the way, but just so that way to them, I'm going to say all of this to potentially answer any question you may have, so you won't have to come back and ask me anything. And a lot of the times, people, we will accept that. We won't ask questions. We won't go forward. We won't inquire. We won't ask to validate what they're saying. And so what David did is that he went beyond what that man was telling him and simply asked him, look, how do you know this? Yeah, see, I think he's giving me all this information, but how do you know that to be true? And again, does not mean that we are pointing that person to be a liar, to be deceitful, no, or that situation to be a situation you should not go into, but the purpose in it is to find out for ourselves. Because what it means is that you are holding your life and what matters to you, not placing yourself, what's valuable to you, what's important to you, whether you're investing your time, whether you're investing your money, where you're investing whatever it is concerning you, that's important and that's valuable. People may not value that, but we should value that. And by doing that, will prevent us from making a decision based on what people present to us. And then we soon get the actual information, or we get into it and realize, because I know we've all been there. You make a decision, and then it's not until you have made the decision that you realize that something was missing, that this you did not say up front. You did not disclose that information up front. And so because of that, we're the ones that are going to have to deal with that outcome. Reminder, this is our authority. This is your right to how you bring people or information into your life. We have the right to know this so we can move forward with the truth and rightful information to the best of our ability. So now, shifting from verse 5 up until verse 14, David asked the man who was a foreigner how he knew Saul and Jonathan had died. The man had gave David a lengthy detail of how he himself killed Saul and when Saul was on the brink of death, believing this would reward him favor or honor in David's sight. Now, to stop there, just to bring about the background to this, the truth of what actually happened to Saul was not what this man had told him. This man did not actually do what he claimed he did, and that was he saw Saul on the battlefield, on the brink of death. Saul called out to him. He came. He told him he is an Amalekite, that is a non-Jewish person. But they lived in the land with the Jewish people, with the Israelites. So when he called out to this young man, Saul apparently asked this young man to go ahead and kill him because he's on the brink of death anyway. So the man claims that he did just that, thinking by telling that story to David, David, in fact, would have honored him. But what really happened was that Saul was, in fact, on the brink of death. Jonathan had died. But during that time, they had armor bearers. And when Saul had realized his condition, that he was on the brink of death, he turned to his armor bearer. And he asked his armor bearer to slew him. But out of fear and reverence, the armor bearer wouldn't do it. So Saul himself fell on his own sword, and he killed himself. And the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, and he did the same thing. That's how Saul died, by his own sword, not by this young man who approached and told David that story. And again, the young man told him what he believed he wanted David to hear. People may have an idea of who we are, but they have no idea truly who we are. This man, many people may have knew that David was fleeing for his life from Saul, not just for a month, but many years. So he thought, oh, the person who's trying to take your life, he's gone now. oh, you will reward me because I helped you in this. I have helped you get to the throne, or whatever his motive was, it wasn't right. So he thought he was going to gain something from David. And the key point in this was a non-Israelite. And how this relates to us is that not everybody is not like you. Though we will want to have that or to believe that, this man did not know who David really was. David was not the way this man expected, because his only focus, this man's only focus, was to enrich his own life and how this would affect him, how this would benefit him. And he thought by saying what he said and how it would affect David in turn to enrich his own life. Keeping that in mind, what are their motives or reasons are important to understand. These questions should shift your gears in who and how you approach a situation. And that is, what is their motive? Are they telling me all the information? Because when we ask questions, sometimes we can ask this similar question, but if we redirect it in another way, then that could bring forth information that they would not have initially disclosed to us. And so remember this. In the example of this, I want to give you an example of that. Like, for example, let's say if a person is talking to a seller of a house, and that seller's motive is to get out of this house because they understand its true condition and they want to move forward into something else. So what do they do? They tell you of all the upgrades. They tell you how beautiful the neighborhood is. They tell you how quiet everybody is. Because they're telling you something that they believe is what is going to cause you to want to strike interest in buying a house. Not the leaky roof, not the faulty wiring system, not the busted plumbing system that they had put tape on it to try to repair. No, they're going to tell you or me what they want, what they believe we want to hear. Because remember, their motives weren't right. But some only want to just sell and not concerned about how that sale will affect you. Remember this, we are no longer in our grandfather's party. So in verse 14, that reads, David asked him, why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And this came after the response to how the men knew Saul and Jonathan had died. While it was very detailed, David did not respond the way the man expected. David spoke truth. Despite of Saul, many attempts on David's life, and honestly, many attempts in which David himself had an opportunity to take Saul's life. But because he reverenced God, because he reverenced that this was God's anointed, he would not take Saul's life. And also understanding the character of God, of David. David stood on who God is. That was his character. That was his moral. That's what he believed in. And David's confidence is in who he stood for, not in trying to seek favor or recognition of man, but his stance was for truth, recognizing the truth in all the words this man had said, that he killed Saul. Remember this, when you go back to look over this experience in David's life, when you look at the details and all the words and the examples that this man tried to present to David to show proof that what he's saying is actually true. He had King Saul's crown. He had the bracelet he would wear. He had all those things to try to show proof that what he's saying is actually factual. But this brings to mind, when we are slow to speak, we can then become quick to listen. And that is found in James 1:19. That gives us a God-given quality that takes us from being led by the conversation to now directing it, able to listen to what people are really saying or not saying, just to get what they're truly needing or wanting to say, or excuse me, what they're truly saying. Because when David redirected this conversation away from the reward the man assumed he was going to get, that's what led to his unexpected end that was in verse 15. But before we go there, just wanting to touch on this. People are not always going to be forthcoming, as we know this. But the key is in the Word of God that gives us to know the importance of being slow to speak and quick to listen. When we look at that, David didn't go and talk a whole lot with this man. The man was the one that was doing all the talking. But in the things that David was saying, he heard some things that it did not agree with his spirit. It did not align to the truth that he stood for. So sometimes we just got to just listen to what people are saying. Because in the listening, we can be able to hear what God is saying. We can be able to pinpoint out something that isn't right. And that's what David did. When this man said that he killed Saul, but then he was so focused on all this other details to confirm that what he's saying is true because he thought he was going to be rewarded by it, but in turn, it actually calls for his own death. And that was in verse 15. And even in Psalms 105:15 says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. When we stand for truth, it will always give us a good return. And we will never be put to shame, whether it be avoiding a disappointing relationship or a stressful job that can lead us to the hospital, because that's what stress does. It affects us. It affects our bodies. It affects blood pressure. It affects our minds, our heart. It affects. But because David heard the truth and stood for what is right, he avoided the consequence of not of following what was not true. He did not follow what the man said, but instead he inquired. Instead he sought after the truth. He did not just go after what the man said. And he avoided the consequence of going down the wrong path. And that's the same thing that could happen to us. And even when we go down to verse 20, it reads, tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. So verses 17 through 27 is actually a lament or a lamentation. It's a sorrowful song that David had sung for Saul, for Jonathan, for the Israelites who died in battle in the condition of Israel. And so when he sung that song in verse 20, David addresses not to go and tell those of Saul and Jonathan's death, for they're not going to join in the Saul, but they're going to rejoice. There are times when we want to share, but there are others when we must not speak, to keep our mouths shut on something, because not everybody will have the same desire to see us come through, be uplifted, or even gain success. But in actuality, would want us to be defeated, not move forward, but shrivel up and die. It's a harsh reality. But some people don't want to see us do good. Sometimes we don't even know who they are. They could be a close friend, family, or coworker. The point of this topic is not to make suspicion of people or tear down the human race, but the truth stands alone. We can look around and see the stories of old times where there was no thought to leave your doors unlocked or get a ride home. No question or doubt their motives were true, because there was a time we stood for truth and feared God. But now people have gone on to what they see is right in their own eyes. Learning or brushing up on these tips hopefully will keep us from from entertaining a wolf in sheep's clothing. And at this point, we want to turn to the book, I Win, I Am a Survivor. It's two quotes. First one is found on page 61. And it reads, I believe vulnerability begins within the womb. When there's the natural ability for a fetus to live and to thrive while being connected to the mother through the umbilical cord, a child's pure existence depends upon the mother's capability to support life by the process of feeding, nourishing, and sustaining the child through the stages of the growth process until the final stage of delivery. After delivery of the child, there continues to be a dependency on the mother and the environment for the enhancement of survival. And from there, we want to go to page 64, and the quote reads, the purpose for the moth inside the cocoon is to strengthen its wings and to help it to grow and fight through the cocoon, the odds, until it is strong enough to break through every barrier that holds it captive. The fight for the caterpillar is important for its life to become what it was meant to become, and that is a butterfly. Similarly, there are odds in your life that can also provide you the strength to fight and survive, no matter the difficulties that stand in your way. End quote. While we cannot change our experiences of the attachment, we can learn to fight, to push through its barriers, to detach from old familiar experiences so we can become and experience something greater. 2023 has given us all experiences. I encourage us all, myself included, to learn from them, to gain our own strategic approach to enter into 2024. While we don't know what 2024 will bring, but we can gather wisdom from 2023. So I want to end there and hopefully encourage all of us to know that no matter where we find ourselves today, 2023 has been filled with laughter, sadness, ups and downs. We cannot change it. We cannot change who we've been attached to. But we can learn how to detach so we can gain the wisdom from those experiences. Because remember this, the purpose of through those, just like that moth, there was a purpose that moth was not comfortable in that cocoon because it had to get to its final stage, and that was to become that butterfly. So though 2023 may have been that uncomfortableness, growing into self, coming into a place of awareness and authenticity, and I want to also share this with you too. As the author came onto the show, the author of I Win, I Am a Survivor, Margaret L. Moore, the word that she had told all of us to be encouraged by is to come into our authentic self. And in that, I learned recently that Merriam-Webster's dictionary has put authenticity as the word of the year for 2023. That, to me, confirmed the importance to come into a greater understanding of our experiences, of the things that we've learned, so we can be able to be better equipped. Because, no, we don't know what's ahead of us. But we do know where we've come from. We do know how we can be able to learn from it. We can be able to take these tips to be able to know that it's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to pursue truth and knowledge. It's okay for that because it's best for you. Because if you were the old you, may not have said anything, may not have inquired, may not have asked questions. Think about the consequences that many of us have possibly faced because of it. Coming into our authentic self is the confidence of knowing that, God, you have given me the authority to stand on who you are, to know that you will be the one to lift me up. You will protect me, even if it means standing by myself against my own family in truth, not allowing nobody else to continue to put me in that place that I'm nobody, that I'm not good enough. I don't, my words mean nothing. But I want to encourage us today that your words have value. They hold weight because of who you belong to. So I encourage everyone in this lesson to just know you have the victory. You have what it takes. That in the end of it, we can just shout hallelujah to our God for bringing us through. Again, no matter what 2023 has come, you have brought to all of us. You've made it to December 1st. That's something to rejoice over. So again, thank you for taking your time out with us. We wanted to say thank you. And until the next time, be blessed.